This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Russia not only used its internet influence campaign to sway American opinion in the 2016 election, it specifically targeted African Americans in an effort to suppress turnout among Democratic voters. That's one of the major findings from two reports commissioned by the Senate Intelligence Committee, which were revealed this week. And it's also why the NAACP is calling for a boycott of Facebook. Now, you can join the conversation. What's your reaction to the news that Russia targeted African American voters? Will you log out of Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram? And more broadly, how can we tell the difference between standard, legitimate, homegrown political activism and agitation versus disinformation planted on social media platforms? Now, full disclosure here, I have a family member, my brother, who is a project manager at Facebook, and he worked on the company's election security team for this year's election. But joining me now from Atlanta, Georgia, is Derek Johnson. He's president of the NAACP. Mr. Johnson, thank you so much for joining us On Point.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, tell us more. What was your reaction initially when you saw in these Senate Intelligence Committee reports that African Americans were being specifically targeted? I hear you there in the airport. That the African Americans were being specifically targeted by Russia in their disinformation campaign.
Well, you know, it's something that we had learned about early on. Our frustration has been that the company has not taken aggressive action to remedy the problem, so it's something that won't repeat itself in the future. In addition to that, we also learned that they had hired an outside public relations firm to target African-American groups who have been raising the issue around this problem. Those things coupled with our ongoing concern with the lack of diversity in the company, which is reflected in some of these decisions, are all things that were appalling to the NAACP. And as a result of that, we call for an action of logging out of Facebook on yesterday as a part of our action to respond to what we've heard.
Right. And so you're referring to the reporting from the New York Times, I believe, late last month that Facebook had hired an opposition research group to look into racial justice groups such as Color of Change, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was Color of Change and several others. And for African Americans, we understand the impact of when a governmental entity or private corporations use their leverage to target African Americans. We've seen this take place in the late 60s, 70s with COINTELPRO. There were several companies that have also done similar incidents. So for us, we were really taken aback when we learned of that, in addition to all the other problems. And one of the least reported realities that we are concerned about is some of the discriminatory practices the platforms are being used for in terms of marketing houses.
There
are pending lawsuits to address that as well. So for the NAACP, we are seeking for Facebook to right-size its operation and be more sensitive to different communities that use the platform.
Mm. Now, I'm seeing here that Facebook has said that it's meeting with groups such as Color of Change. It's going to do an audit, a civil rights audit, essentially. But I wonder, is calling for a one-day log out of Facebook really going to be enough? Because to be perfectly honest, this is a company that has a years-long habit of apologizing. You know, for every time that we find out that they have company practices that aren't in line with privacy, for example, Mark Zuckerberg will get up and apologize, but then not much changes. So how more is a one-day boycott enough?
Well, I don't know. I won't say it's enough. Our goal was to raise the level around this conversation. We've also seen the pattern of deny and delay, and we want to place a greater sense of urgency for them to aggressively address and remedy some of the things that have been outlined.
So how, for just to be clear, because I'm a little unclear on the length of the logout, and I know that that's not your whole point, but are you asking for a one day, a 1 week? How long do you want people to say no to Facebook?
Well, for the NAACP organization, we're logging out for a week, and for those organizations and companies can do the same. That's what we are pursuing. For individuals, we ask for a 1 day logout, and we also understand that everything won't be fixed overnight, so it's an escalation proposition for us. If the company don't take this serious, go beyond just meeting and doing reports, then we have to take next steps. However, we define next steps.
Okay. So, Derek Johnson, stand by for just 1 second. Let me take a quick call here. Mary is calling from Iowa City, Iowa. Mary, you're on the air.
Hi. You know, there should not be a boycott of Facebook because we need Facebook for the 2020 election. Facebook is freedom of the press, and you shouldn't be stupid enough. As a black person, been here since 1619, been here since slavery, been lied to, as to go along with boycotting the thing that we need. If it wasn't for Facebook, Black Lives Matter wouldn't have existed. Me Too wouldn't have existed. No Women's March on Washington. Mm. It's an organization tool. Don't be dumb enough to believe everything you read. We're adults now, and we need Facebook.
Mary, can I just jump in here? I take your point, but part of the problem is, I mean, what we're seeing is that there's a specific targeting of African Americans and the sophistication by which, you know, the misinformation that's being sent from Russian operatives makes it hard to tell the difference between, as you're saying, the legitimate political protest groups that you're talking about versus out-and-out propaganda, misinformation coming from a foreign power.
Look, those were the Russians who did that. We are Americans, and we are in a fight for our lives, whether you're black, white, yellow, or red. We have our enemy out there, and we need our own source of getting our propaganda out there. So the boycott Facebook, to me, is silly.
Okay. Well, Mary, thank you so much for your call. Derek Johnson, before I have to let you go here, respond to Mary.
But, you know, we understand and appreciate the power of the tool of Facebook. And by no means we are trying to diminish that power. What we are saying is there is a corporate responsibility to ensure that the integrity of the platform is not used by foreign outside influencers. It is not used to promote racial hatred and intolerance. It is definitely not used to subvert democracy through attempts to suppress African-American voting patterns. Mm. So we're not saying not use it for the tool it could be used for. We're saying as a corporate culture, they need to put in the proper protection so it's not used to subvert our way of life.
Right. And have you personally heard from Facebook in response to what you're calling for?
Yeah, we have. We have met with Sheryl Sandberg, like many other African-American and other civil rights groups. And I think that's a good step. But, you know, for us, it's the actions, the implementation of the plan and the priority they place on the recommendations coming from the civil rights audit is most important. So conversations are good. Outcomes are better.
Right. Well, Derek Johnson, president of the NAACP, joining us today from Atlanta at the airport there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a good morning.
All right. Well, let's turn now to Renee DiResta. She's director of research at the cybersecurity company New Knowledge. She co-authored one of the reports on Russia's influence campaign for the Senate Intelligence Committee. There's a link to that at onpointradio.org. Renee, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
So can you tell us in more detail, specifically, what is it that you found regarding how Russia was targeting, through these social media platforms, African-American voters?
Yeah, so we found a multi-year influence operation. It wasn't necessarily focused on the political, though that was, of course, a part of it. They created a number of pages, I believe it was 88, I think, on Facebook and 133 on Instagram. And those were segmented across various facets of U.S. society, including on Facebook, I believe, 30 pages targeting the African-American community. They were not monolithic. They actually went really deeply. Each one had a different kind of facet of a particular type of culture. So there was a black liberation theology page. There was a Baptist-focused page. There was a couple of Black Lives Matter-type focused pages, much more political. There were a couple of culture-focused pages, things about beauty and hair and pride and culture. And so they weren't kind of uniformly generic. They were actually extremely well segmented to appeal to different facets of the black experience.
Well, do we know how many people saw them?
We know that the content overall was engaged with about 78 million times on Facebook, individual engagements, like leaving comments and things like that. And Facebook has speculated that 120 million people saw the content on Facebook and another 20 million saw it on Instagram.
But that's as a whole, not specifically the African American targeted content.
I don't have that number off the top of my head, unfortunately.
Okay, but nevertheless, by definition, how these social networks work is, you know, it takes a few number of posts to be significantly amplified through a social network. So we can presume that perhaps, you know, many people did see them. Now,
yeah. So the pages had probably 300,000 to 500,000 followers or so for some of the top, the most successful from their point of view. Black pages had about 300,000 to 500,000 followers.
Okay. Now, and you said that some of it was not necessarily directly political content. I mean, what's the difference between that and there were messages that were following news stories or mimicking, grievances that African Americans already had for, say, things like policing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was a lot of focus on policing. There was a lot of focus on police brutality and violence on some of the pages. But there were other pages that really focused more on culture. There was a lot of actually cross-promotion of black businesses. So they reached out to black businesses and appear to have run promos for them. The narrative of just being extremely pro-black business. It was a lot of like hair care products, a lot of skincare products that were designed specifically for black women. So some of the pages were really designed more to be like kind of cultural commentary, just pride. The way that they did it was they created really strong in-group dynamics. So across all of the pages, the LGBT page was also particularly strong on this, where the vast majority of the posts were about pride in culture, pride in heritage, pride in sexual orientation. And then what they would do is they would add a political post in there. So it would establish kind of an in-group dynamic, like we are African-American people, this is our culture. And then there would be these posts that would say, like, as black people, we can't vote for Hillary Clinton. As black people, we should be supporting Jill Stein. As black people, we shouldn't vote because our country, this isn't our country. And so it was never framed as, like, a prescriptive thing. It was framed as, like, because we are members of this group, we know that we shouldn't do this.
Right.
And that was how, so much more like creating and reinforcing an in-group dynamic. The divisiveness came when they would, similarly, particularly on some of the far-right pages, it would be, we are Americans, and so we should not, we have no obligation to deal with these refugees. Mm. We don't want these immigrants. So it was very that they did that same kind of creation of in-group dynamics across all of their pages.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Renee, hang on here for just a second, because I want to get at least one or two calls in before we run out of time. Let's go to Michael, who's calling from Toronto, Canada. Michael, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. My opinion is that we might be overthinking this. In its most simplistic terms, Russia wanted Trump to be elected. In order to do that, they needed to influence people to either vote for him or not vote at all. And because African Americans are easily identified and proven to be Democratic voters, it seems like a relatively easy group to target. And I don't think they were targeted because they're African Americans as much as I think they were targeted because they are 90% plus Democratic voters. And I think that is probably the rationale that all of this targeting boils down to.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to do with their culture as much as it has to do with the fact that they vote as a monolithic block.
Michael, thank you so much for your call. Let's go quickly to Robert, who's calling from Raysville, Georgia. Robert, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you. And I enjoy you very much every day.
Thank you. What's your thought for today?
I think that it's an insult to the African Americans that they're intelligent enough to have Facebook. They're intelligent enough to graduate from high school, go to college, and I just think it's an insult to them to think that some Russian bullcrap could influence them in any way.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for your call. And I just have to say, I mean, we feel like we've had story after story about how Russia had, and you know, its efforts to influence American divisions and American politics. Obviously, Russia thought that it would have an influence not just on African Americans, but American voters at large over many months and even years, as Renee DiResta is telling us. But thank you so much for your call. Renee, we just got a minute and a half left here to go, and I want to get your response on one thing about how Facebook, you know, says Sheryl Sandberg put up a post, a Facebook post, saying that the company is taking the findings of your report, quote, incredibly seriously, and that they're going to work to strengthen and advance civil rights on our service. We know that we need to do more. This is language that Facebook uses repeatedly every time we have yet another report or story coming out about fundamental problems with this platform that now reaches 2 billion people around the world. I mean, they know they need to do more, but it doesn't seem like they are doing enough. I mean, have you been impressed or not with Facebook's response so far, and what should they be doing?
You mentioned you had a family member on the election integrity team. I think that the election integrity team, you know, I did some work and some communication with them in 2018. They did a, it was a remarkable turnaround. They really did make a concerted effort to be absolutely on point, to work with researchers, and I think that they deserve commendation for that. More generally speaking, I do think that at this point, the regulations approach is going to be where we need to go. I think that we have seen that self-regulation just doesn't work on its own in this industry.
Well, so then hopefully the Senate Intelligence Committee reports that you've done is a step in getting Washington to perhaps do that, to go down the road for regulation on social media. We'll see what happens. Renee DiResta, Director of Research at the cybersecurity company New Knowledge. She co-authored a report on Russia's influence campaign on social media, did that for the Senate Intelligence Committee. We have a link to it at onpointradio.org. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
On Point is produced by Anna Bauman, Brian Hardzinski, Alina Mata, Stefano Katsonis, Allison Poli, James Ross, and Alex Schroeder, with help from David Marino. Our executive producer is Karen Schiffman. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.